You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's bring in Jimmy Stein, and he's with Quarterback Country. Jimmy, welcome in. We're thrilled to have you on 98.7 ESPN. How are you doing this morning?
Doing great. I appreciate you having me on.
No, thank you. Thank you. So first and foremost, if you can, let our listeners know exactly what exactly is Quarterback Country. How is Mac Jones, associated with you guys? What have you done with him? Kind of give our listeners a little background.
Sure. QB Country is a developmental and training, more or less like an academy for quarterbacks. It's in 10 locations throughout the South. There's actually one location in New Jersey as well, but Mobile, Jackson, Mississippi, Memphis, Tennessee, Nashville, Atlanta, Charlotte. And we train middle school, high school, college, and NFL quarterbacks at all levels. And with Mac was one of our draft prep guys. That's one of the things that QB Country spends a lot of resources on and had a lot of success with. And this year in Mobile, David Morris, who's the head of QB Country, he trained Mac Jones and Davis Mills from Stanford, just getting them ready for the draft, getting them ready for their pro days, and putting them through a pretty extensive program that began way back in January.
With that being said, talk about Mac Jones and his tenure and his time at Alabama, and playing behind Tua, then stepping up. One of the things that I really love most is, those are some big shoes to fill. Tua was the talk of college football last year. In fact, the phrase "tank for Tua" that surfaced in Miami, and sure enough, Miami decided to draft Tua. But nonetheless, talk about Mac Jones. Talk about his tenure at Alabama, playing behind Tua, and then stepping in to kind of fill that leadership role.
Yeah, it was kind of, I think, a decision that a lot of people questioned at the time around Mac. He was committed to Kentucky really early in his high school career out of Jacksonville, Florida. And then the summer before his senior year, almost similar to what's happened with the NFL draft, Mac really blew up. His stock went through the roof as more people watched his junior year tape. And even though he had been committed to Kentucky for over a year, the Alabamas came calling, so Florida State, a lot of big schools were in on Mac when he flipped his commitment from Kentucky to Alabama. But at the time that he committed to Alabama, Tua, who was also in the same signing class, was also committed. And, of course, Tua was an extremely high-profile five-star quarterback. Mac could have gone somewhere else and had less of a crowded quarterback room. Jalen Hurts was already on campus and an established freshman starter. So that's what Mac wanted to jump into, a program that had a lot, a track record of developing quarterbacks, playing a pro-style type system. And Mac just felt like even though he could play earlier somewhere else, Alabama would develop him into the best quarterback he could be. And he patiently waited his turn for Jalen to cycle out and Tua to cycle out. Then he became the guy. And really through nothing but hard work, he's a relentless worker. He'd improved each year at Alabama hugely, but I don't know that anyone would have seen this coming back when Mac was a freshman and a redshirt freshman in terms of the talk about where he'll be selected in the draft. It's just been a developmental thing with him where he just gets better and better each year.
Jimmy Stein joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. You could see him in his work all over QB country, and they've been working with Mac Jones for quite a while now. So here's what I don't understand, Jimmy, right? Last year, Tua was the buzz, right? And even to the point where now the Miami Dolphins, they selected Tua over Herbert. I would imagine they're regretting that decision right now, but nonetheless. And I look at the season, and please tell me if you think I'm wrong. I look at Mac Jones doing more with less than Tua did. In the interviews that have taken place with a number of the other Alabama players, Devontae Smith, Patrick Surtain, Waddle, they have gone on record to say that they feel that Mac Jones is a better quarterback than Tua. And granted, listen, Tua's story still hasn't been written. We don't know, does he step up and really play bigger and better in Miami this year than he did last year? He was benched 3-4 times at the end of the season for Ryan Fitzpatrick. We know that. But why do you think that is? Why do you think there was such a lot of buzz about Tua? And here's Mac Jones doing the same thing, if not better, with less, and there's not as much buzz with Mac Jones. What gives? Why is that?
Well, we say there's not as much buzz, but Mac is projected to be as high as the number three pick in the draft. So, that would be two spots higher than Tua was drafted. I do think you make a good point about Mac having less. When Tua, in Tua's final season at Alabama, he had four first-round receivers to work with, and Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, and, of course, Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle, who are projected first-round picks in this draft. So Tua was loaded at wide receiver. Mac had two of them this past year in Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle, but Waddle gets hurt, before the season's even halfway over, and Devontae had to pick up the load from there. Alabama had another good receiver, a kid named John Metchie, that we'll probably be talking about in the draft, a year from now. But Mac had fewer weapons, although when you have the Heisman winner at wide receiver, I don't think anybody's going to feel too bad for him. But he did have fewer targets than Tua had the year before. And I would say, and really a lot of Alabama people agree with this, I think the 2020 season was the best quarterbacked season in Alabama football history. And you're talking about a program that's produced Joe Namath, Kenny Stabler, Tua, Jalen, the recent famed Richard Todd, who had a successful career with the New York Jets. I think Mac's season was better than any prior season by any Alabama quarterback.
Yeah, I was reading, his accuracy from 20 yards or more is the best of any quarterback in the last decade. And one thing, I've spoken to a lot of scouts, and one thing when I talk to scouts and what they love is quarterbacks who throw wide receivers open as opposed to quarterbacks who throw to wide receivers who are already open, because it's a huge difference, especially when you get to the NFL and the speed of the game in the NFL. You need to throw wide receivers open as opposed to waiting until they get open. You wait, you're going to be intercepted. And they love that. They love that aspect about Mac Jones. What do you feel is the most important characteristic that Mac Jones brings to the table that you think is really impressing a lot of scouts and general managers?
Physically, it's the accuracy. Physically, just the completion percentage you're talking about. And remember this, Anita, look who Mac Jones did this against. And I think this is why his stock is so high, why people are excited about Mac Jones. That completion percentage was against 10 SEC opponents, then an 11th one in the SEC championship game, and then two top four teams in Notre Dame and Ohio State in the playoffs. There was no cupcake for him to pad numbers against. It was all conference games, playing in the toughest conference in the country, then in the SEC championship game, then in the playoffs. So Mac put up those numbers against, if you think about it, one of the toughest schedules ever played, when there's no non-conference games and you're playing a conference opponent every single week and then the playoffs. And Mac still completed 72% of his passes, and his numbers downfield were just mind-blowing, really. So his accuracy, his decision-making are just elite. To say nothing of the intangibles off the field, where I think he really separates himself from his peers.
Let's take a look at what the situation is right now for him, right? Like, 49ers make the trade, they move up, and immediately when that trade was made, then that's really when Mac's name started really becoming a household name in regard to this draft, because there was talk and speculation that the 49ers are going to take him at three. Also, there's the fact that Kyle Shanahan and their family has that QB development company, and they've been working with Justin Fields for 3 to 4 years, trying to implement the quarterback principles to Justin Fields. So, it's really, really a big question mark here. I think it would be wise. How I feel. I think it'd be wise for them to take Mac Jones. Again, I think Mac Jones is the second best quarterback in this draft, but what's your gut telling you, Jimmy? What do you think the 49ers do at three?
Well, they're taking a quarterback. It's going to be, it could be Mac. Obviously, Justin Fields is a heck of a talent. Trey Lance is a talented kid too. You know, one thing about Mac is he's going to be ready to play quickly. I think his experience at Alabama, running a pro-style type offense at Alabama, playing with NFL talent, playing against that competition week in and week out. If the 49ers want to put someone on the field quickly, Mac Jones makes a lot of sense, because I think he's going to show up ready to play. And that's what might separate him from some of the others. But, you know, Fields is a heck of a talent. So is Trey Lance. We'll see what the 49ers do. I know today, Mac Jones isn't reading over the mock drafts. He's working on being a better quarterback today. That's all he does.
I'm sure. Some other interesting, my two producers, I've got Ty and Michael that are back in New York City, and one yesterday brought up the name of Davis Mills, and I said, "Oh, you'll be really excited. We're going to have Jimmy Stein from QB Country on with us, and they're working with David Mills as well. Stanford quarterback, very huge pro style offense he's been playing in. Some now, I mean, the buzz, his name is moving up as well. Some feel late first round, definitely second round pick. What can you tell us about Davis Mills?"
Well, we feel Davis is an NFL starter. Whether he goes in the first round, day two, yet to be seen. His name seems to be sparking a lot of interest here late. But Davis is physically real impressive guy, big, strong guy, really good athlete, ran a 4.68 at his pro day, even though most look at him and say, well, Davis, he's a pocket passer. Well, not many pocket passers run 4.68s. Davis has a great throwing motion. He had some injury issues at Stanford early in his career, kind of limited the number of starts that he had out there. So I think there's a lot of untapped upside there with him, because he hasn't played in a ton of games. But in terms of his arm strength, his accuracy, his athleticism, he's a great guy. He's super smart. I think it's crazy. I've seen him referred to as a sleeper. I'm like, I don't know. I put Davis Mills' physical talents up against anyone in this draft. He's a super talented kid, hard worker, a lot like Mac. And we were really happy with his progress. And he was great at his pro day. He had a fantastic pro day in the rain and still performed as well as anyone could. Great, great kid. And we feel he'll be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
He's a quarterback to me that I could see the Patriots taking towards the end of the first round or even in the second. Before we let you go, let's take a look at some of the other players at Alabama that are expected to go in the first round. Devontae Smith, wide receiver, being one. A lot of people feel that Ja'Marr Chase will be the first wide receiver that will be taken. Devontae Smith being the second, and I guess the big concern with him is his size and just how thin he is. Is that a concern for you as well in regard right. to his NFL career?
Well, it's understandable. It's understandable based on the track record of smaller receivers in the first round. It's understandable that people would have questions about that. But what I would point out about Devontae is this, you know, who's he going to be playing against on Sundays? Well, you know, LSU, where Devontae had two of the biggest games of his career, they feature two first round cornerbacks. You know, he's playing against the best defensive backs in college football, and they couldn't come close to covering him. Look what he did against Ohio State in the national championship game in the first half. And Ohio State has pro football players all over the field. So Devontae dominated against elite competition, maybe more so than any wide receiver in history when you look at his numbers, than factor in who he's playing against. So while I understand any questions about his size are legitimate questions at 170 pounds, Devontae had zero problems getting open against press coverage at Alabama. And in fact, pound for pound, was easily the best blocker on the team. Devontae is extremely physical outside. He doesn't mind blocking for his fellow wide receivers. He had many highlight pancake blocks throughout his career at Alabama.
Patrick Surtain, of course, son of NFL player I covered. I feel that he is, in my opinion, My two, I feel the two best defensive players on the board is Parsons, linebacker from Penn State, and Surtain, of course, cornerback from Alabama. And I feel that these will be the first two defensive players taken. Your thoughts on Surtain?
He's just ideally what you look for physically. 6'2", a little over 200 pounds, ran a 4.4 at his pro day, came to Alabama as a 5-star national elite recruit, and then started from day one, despite the competition in the defensive back room. Surtain, I'm sure well coached by his dad, very polished kid, kind of showed up at Alabama a pro and is leaving bigger, stronger, faster, coached by Nick Saban, who really, you know, his specialty is defensive back. Coach Saban spends a lot of practice working with his corners. That's what he does. And so Surtain, exceptionally well coached, top of the line athlete, great size, great speed. I fully expect Surtain to go in the top 10 or 12 picks.
And last but not least, let's talk about Waddle. This is a wide receiver. There's some mock drafts potentially could see him going to the Giants at 11. Your thoughts on Waddle?
Well, put it this way, Devontae Smith won the Heisman Trophy, but if you told Alabama fans before last season that an Alabama wide receiver was going to win the Heisman Trophy, they would have said Jalen Waddle's going to win the Heisman. I mean, because Waddle is so explosive in the return game, it would have been so easy to imagine him having a season last year had he been able to play the whole season, where he returned 4, 5, or 6 punts for touchdowns. He was catching more balls, making more highlight plays than Devontae at the time of his injury. So Jalen Waddle is a fantastic high upside kid. His explosion is it's just elite. You got to see it to believe. He's a very explosive player off the line of scrimmage. There's a lot of comparisons made to Tyreek Hill, and that sort of says it all. When you can be compared to Tyreek Hill in terms of your explosiveness and your speed, that tells you what you're getting in Jalen Waddle.
That's for sure. Jimmy, thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning. Really do appreciate it. Thank you, my friend.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Anita.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.